This podcast episode is powered by AfriPods, the world's number one podcasting platform for African stories.
Welcome to Rooted and Robust Podcast. Everyone, this is Rooted and Robust Podcast. My name is Ozioma Anyoji. This week, I have brought to you another amazing episode. Well, today's episode, or rather this week's episode, is different. Not necessarily different, but it's an inspiring story that you're going to listen to. It's not just inspiring, but it's something that we all should pay attention to, right? So, especially for those that are yet to be married. If you're yet to get married, you intend to get married in the future, this is especially for you, because the decisions you're going to take today will either affect your children positively or negatively. On the show today with me is Mary Philip, and she is a sickle cell warrior, right? Today we're going to hear her story, and we're going to talk extensively on why it is important that intending couple pay attention to their genotypes. It's very important. What Mary is going through today is something that could have been avoided if her parents knew their genotype and made decisions based on that knowledge, right? All right, so today I have on the show Mary Philip, a sickle cell warrior and a sickle cell advocate. Welcome on the show, Mary. Thank you so much for joining me on the show today.
Yeah, thank you very much, Mom. I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
Welcome. Today we want to talk about you. We want the world to hear your story. And most importantly, we want the sensitization about sickle cell to be out there so people can make the right decisions. All right? So first of all, let's get into it. Let's meet you. Who is Mary Philip? Let's get started from there.
Okay. I'm Mary Philip Oyoso. I'm a sickle cell warrior. I'm a sickle cell advocate. I'm a confidence coach, and I'm a transformation speaker. All my life, I've lived with the SS gene, so it has affected me in many ways. So it is through this that I had to dedicate my life to advocating for sickle cell. The reason why people need to know their genotype and the importance of not ignoring that message, knowing your genotype, so that we can have the next generation free from the SS gene. So that's what my field. I go to schools, I go to churches, public places, to create this awareness using my own life story so people can get the message more and better.
Okay, all right. Let's get into it. Now, people listening to us right now may not understand the extent, you don't understand the in-depth of what we are talking about because they are not seeing you, all right? They don't know what exactly we are talking about. So I want you to give us, like, help us understand what exactly you're going through. What is your daily life like as a sickle cell warrior? Let's hear the depth of this story now.
Okay, thank you very much. First, sickle cell, let's get to know what sickle cell is, then I'll now relate it to what I suffer on a daily basis. Okay, sickle cell is an inherited blood disorder in which the red blood cells that carries blood all through the body is sickled and it gets stuck in the blood vessels. Mm-hmm. So what causes this is that two people coming together in marriage, a male and a female, having the same gene like AS and SS, or once there's a presence of SS, there's definitely going to be, they will produce a child with the sickle cell gene.
Yeah.
So my parents were not aware of this when they were going into marriage.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm the first sickle cell warrior in my family. We are three out of five kids. My parents are, we are three. I'm the first. And I lost my younger brother 3 years ago to sickle cell anemia.
Wow.
So this has really affected me because right from the inception, right from when I was born, according to my mom, it is at age 6 months that I was diagnosed of sickle cell.
Mm.
After delivery, I was having, you know, sleepless nights, pains, cries, and all that. So she didn't understand why the child was crying and all that.
Yeah.
The hospital visits and all that. So, but it wasn't yet clear what exactly the issue was. So it was at age 6 months when there was a crisis like that. I was taken to the hospital. A doctor now suggested he should go for a genotype test. So that was where it was confirmed that I have the SS gene.
Mm.
So the background of it is my parents were not aware of that, that they're not educated on that aspect. So it is from that point, the doctors had to educate them on what to do, what to prevent, you know, and to be able to manage this situation. So that is how it has been. So all my life, I've suffered so many pain, excruciating pains, so many hospital admissions, countable blood transfusions, you know.
Mm.
I've suffered so many complications of sickle cell anemia, you know. So it has really affected me, you know. I can't meet up with my mate because there are things that I can't readily do as my mate do. There are places I cannot just readily go. Because when I have maybe a plan to go out, when the crisis comes and it doesn't give signal, that is just...
Mm, it just
this
happens.
Crisis doesn't give signal. Yes, so when I'm stressed out, I get broken down. You know, many things affect me. So when I now grew up to the age of knowing myself, so I was being taught, my parents were doing all that at first. When I got to the age of knowing what to do, I was being taught, okay, these are things I should avoid. These are things I should do, you know, prevent and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So I started living like that to try to live, to survive in it. So it is the management process right from that time has not been easy because it's taxing emotionally, psychologically, financially, and otherwise. So...
Mm.
I live every day in pain. Okay, so there are different times that I had near-death experience when I fall into crisis like that, you know. So when the crisis comes like that, especially when I was in my secondary school, I can remember vividly, I can resume school with my mates, like a first day of resumption, and I may go to school for like 2-3 days, and the remaining time, I'll be in the hospital.
Mm.
So I only come back maybe when they're about writing an examination. So my education was being distorted like that. So it wasn't a smooth one, but thank God I always pull through. Whenever I'm out of the crisis like that, I get back to my books.
Mm.
And God has always been helping me like that. So there was a major complication I faced in the year 2004.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I wasn't aware of that complication because there are many complications that are associated with sickle cell anemia.
Okay.
There are so many. So this sickle cell, how it affects, person, it differs from person to person.
Okay.
Okay, like for me, my three siblings, there were three, my other two siblings, like among the three of us, I always fall sick more often than they.
Mm.
Mine was frequent. My own crisis was frequent. So I don't drink cold water. I can't sleep under the fan or AC. I can't stay out in the rain. You know, I avoid everything cold. Then I sleep under mosquito-treated net because malaria is one major issue that triggers crisis.
Mm.
Okay, so then... My routine drugs, I'm always on it. Folic acid, palodrin, you know, astimine. So I'm always on those drugs. Then I avoid many things, many things. All these outdoor activities, I don't get involved in because if I do, I always get the heat back. Okay, so that was how my life has been with so much pain. Yes. It was more frequent when I was in secondary school. But after I was done with secondary school, I had a major crisis. And we didn't know. It started like a malaria. I was being treated. I went to the hospital. I was being treated for 3 days. I was placed on 3 days injection. So on the third day, I went for the final injection. On getting, meanwhile, my left feet was swollen in that process. Okay, so because there are times that when the pain, the crisis lingers for long, that particular part of the body will get swollen. Yeah, so that's to show the severity of the crisis. So after that third day, I came back. I passed out after that injection.
Wow.
So I was rushed back to the hospital, Gwagwada Specialist Hospital. The hospital I was taking treatment at that time, before we went to Gwagwada, was Nyanya General Hospital in Abuja.
Mm-hmm.
The doctor was like, my mom should rush me immediately to either Gwagwada Specialist Hospital or National Hospital. If not, I won't be able to use my legs again. And we're like, it was so surprising. But we just had to follow the doctor's instruction. We left the next day heading to Gwagwada Specialist Hospital. So on getting there with all the tests and x-ray and all that, that was where I was diagnosed of a vascular necrosis. The pain is unbearable. Like, I can't even explain it. That one crisis kept me for 3.5 years bedridden. I couldn't work. I couldn't do anything for myself. So, yeah, so it was so much. So at that point, in 2 weeks, I was transfused 5 times under 2 weeks. Yeah, so my family had spent all, as in it drained us all financially. So we couldn't continue. And I was asked to go for a hip replacement surgery. But the cost at that time, we couldn't afford it. At that time, we're told like $1.something million then. But I had lost my dad in year 2000. So it has been my mom that has been shouldering all the responsibilities. You know. So imagine taking care of 3 warriors at the same time. There are times that 2 of us can be in the hospital at the same time.
Yeah.
Or 3 of us can be down. Yeah. So it was that taxing. So when we asked to go for that hip replacement surgery, we couldn't afford it. And that was where we had to resign to go back home. Because there was no funds to keep me in that hospital. I had stayed for more than a month in that hospital. So nothing new was happening again. And we just had to go. So we asked to go. We left back home. So that was where the journey started. I couldn't walk. I was being carried about. So I was just hoping that, okay, fine. I was just waiting. Maybe the day I would not wake up again, because everyone had lost hope on me. It was that bad. And if I'm being carried, you hear the sound from my hip bone. You know, there's like 2 bones cracking. So that one was another headache already.
What's the situation right? I mean, this happened in
2004.
Okay. Oh, that's a long time. So what's the situation like right now? Are you still, can you walk? Can you move around? Are you still being aided? So what's it like right now for you?
Yeah, now, but that particular complication cost me, I got deformed. Okay, my backbone was no longer straightened as I used to be. Then my hip bone, so I couldn't walk straight anymore. So for that long, not using a part of my body for that long, 3.5 years, just being in bed.
Yeah.
So that affected my bone. So it has affected me the way I walk. But being a determined and a resilient person, I had to pick up life again. No doubt at a point I was depressed. Yes, I had given up on my own self. But when I saw that I keep waking up every morning, I just had to pick my life again. So that was the period I had an encounter with God for myself. So I had an encounter with God, like, okay. I was asking so many questions. God, why? As in, why should I go through this? You know, it was too much. So the only thing I had left was God and my family. Because medications at a point stopped working. It wasn't working anymore.
Wow.
So I was just on on prayers, you know, prayers were going on. We're going to programs, you know, to just see how a miracle can happen. Mm. But when I started encountering God on my own, daily I pray. That was where I had to learn how to pray for long, you know. It was only God that was the last hope I had.
Mm. Mm.
So I started seeing the promises of God in His word, like, okay, this I will come out of this. So I started getting that assurance. So my faith became built up. I started having confidence in myself. Okay, so my education was stopped for that 3.5 years. So I started again. I had to start building my confidence, mm-hmm. because I was shut out from the world for those 3.5 years. People that knew me then, by the time they saw me again, I had to start facing the world, because at first I was scared. How will I face the world again?
Acceptance.
Okay, mm. How? Because even those 3.5 years, those period of 3.5 years, the few friends I had, they all left.
Mm.
No one was coming again. Everyone just abandoned me, you know. So I was just left with my family alone. So how will I face the world? That was my greatest challenge. How will I start again? You know, but through the help of God and encouragement from my family, I had to pick up again. So first I had to start doing exercises to start to use my feet. So I started learning how to walk again like a baby. And I was using the aid of 2 sticks.
Mm.
So within the house, I'll just be moving from one chair to the other, you know, from one cushion to the other. I'll just trying to exercise my bones again, you know, trying to be strong again. It wasn't an easy one, it was really painful and difficult, but I just had to live again.
Mm.
I just had to.
So is it still possible for a surgery to happen, or is that it? There's still a possibility of surgery, something like that?
Yeah, there's a possibility. There's a possibility of a surgery. Yes, because we've been hearing of the advancement in technology, you know, new advancements. There are so many things coming up now, mm-hmm. treatment for sickle cell and all that. So there is, but the cost is always the challenge. The cost of going for this surgery is the major challenge.
Yeah. I mean, your life is one testimony every day. But then I want you to talk to people that are in this same condition, maybe younger. And are there things that you do daily that could help them? Maybe the food you eat. And you mentioned stuff like not sleeping in any cold environment. Are there other things that you do that could also help someone that is also in this condition, especially if they are younger and they've not experienced the level of crisis that you have gone through, that they can learn from? You know, what are those things? Yes.
Okay, first I will say sickle cell is very expensive to manage.
Mm.
Very expensive to manage, yes. So, but there are things that we can do to try to reduce the crisis. Okay, the frequent crisis. Okay, there are things, ways you can manage it. One of the things we can do, the tips that can help us as warriors to stay healthy, is like finding a good medical care.
Okay,
we should always be close to our medical care, yes, because that care will help us to detect if there's any complications, you know, to address it before it becomes full blown.
Mm-hmm.
Then to go for regular checkups. Despite the economic situation in our country, all warriors should try in any possible way to be on regular checkups. It helps. Then to prevent infections, because infection is one thing that we are prone to, infections. So we should keep infections at arm's length, sleep with mosquito-treated nets, you know, avoid mosquito bites, bacteria infections.
Yeah.
So anything that will get us infected, we should stay away from it.
Mm-hmm.
And learn healthy habits. There are so many healthy habits you should learn, you know. Things you should eat, healthy. Vegetables, fruits, and water.
Mm.
You know, that water is something like, someone will say, you should drink water like a fish.
Mm.
So as in, just keep drinking water, because that water helps the blood to flow.
okay,
without it being sticky, you know. Yeah, so then get support. There are many sickle cell foundations that assist warriors in their routine drugs, counseling, yeah, and all that. Don't mm-hmm. stay alone. Don't manage it alone. Get help from, you know, because you associating with other warriors, you get to find out more, you get more information, you know.
Yeah.
Then
true.
Our daily routine drugs. Many warriors don't do this. Honestly, the routine drugs, please, is very, very important to stay on our routine drugs. Folic acid, palodrin, blood supplements, Azozira. There are many other drugs that helps us to stay away from crisis. So I should all find what works for us, because there is not all that works for everyone. So then taking much fluids, drinking plenty of fluids, you know. If you can just take the water, you can turn your fruit into smoothies, you know. There are many ways. Just find a way of always getting hydrated.
Yeah.
Just stay hydrated. Then proper sleep, adequate sleep. Many warriors face many sleep disorder called insomnia.
Mm-hmm.
So just to find proper rest, because when we are stressed out, it affects. So it's just to find a way to sleep properly. And if any warrior that has a sleep disorder, please talk to your doctor.
One final question is, there's this, I don't know if it's a myth, but then I've heard people say you can outgrow the crisis. I don't know. Is that a correct thing? Is that information right? Can you outgrow sickle cell crisis, or is it you keep having it till whenever?
Yeah, we too, when I was growing up, I heard of that, that when you get to a certain age, but hey, make the inquiries with if that is really true, but I don't think it's not true. It is not true at all. It is not true.
Just
maybe it works for a few people, but
different experiences. I see. How is it now? What's on your table? What are you working on? What are you doing currently? I know you are an advocate for sickle cell. What other things are you involved in?
Okay. I'm a founder of Jesus Girls Club. It's an offline club where I gather young teenage girls, you know, just to see how I can impact positively into them by advising them, you know, teaching them morals, how to live a healthy self-esteem, how to prevent all these social vices, you know, how to just be good, and also to be in their field of study, to be excellent. So I just gather these teenage girls, you know, that has been running for like 2-3 years now. And I provide sanitary pad for them, because in the part of the community I came to live in, I noticed that there are girls that still make use of rags for their menstrual cycle. Yes, I heard of it, and that really broke my heart. So in the little way I can, I started providing, not that I'm earning any, I'm not working, but the way people bless me, how I just get the few things I do that I get money, so I provide the sanitary part for them monthly. So that's what I've been doing for 2 years now. So, and I still go about my advocacy. That one is really, really on that. So, and I'm just learning one or two things on the internet. So that is my life now. So, and there are many projects that still comes up. I just finished rounding up a project, back to school campaign, where we provided writing materials for children in public school, a public school around here, where children don't have writing materials. So I was able to put up a post on my Facebook to ask for sponsors and people that, so there are people that reach out to me. I was able to get some exercise books, pens, barrels, erasers, you know. Yeah. So I was able to, I did that and I posted on my Facebook page. So.
Wow, well done.
Yeah.
I mean, you're doing a whole lot to living as a warrior, as a sickle cell warrior. That is very inspiring. Well done. And thank you so much for sharing this story today. I mean, I hope it inspires people, because if you are doing this much, fighting your daily battles, I mean, it should inspire someone to keep doing what they should do and keep inspiring other people. Thank you so much, Mary, for sharing your story on the show with me today.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you. Thank you.
You're welcome. And be good. Take care of yourself.
Yes, Ma, you're doing great too.
Thank
you. Ma, grease your elbow. God bless you.
You too. Thank you. So, bye-bye. Have a good day.
Bye. Thank you.
And that was the story of Mary Philip, a sickle cell warrior. You know, when you don't hear people's story, you probably don't have an idea of what someone next door is going through. What a life, what a daily life of battle that it is for Mary and so many other people like her out there. And today, I just want to reiterate to everyone out there that is listening to me, if you still have the opportunity to save the next generation from this crisis, please do. Please do. Please confirm that your genotype is safe for the next generation not to go through this daily battle, this crisis. This episode is just to bring again this information to everyone that sickle cell is an issue. Sickle cell warriors are living daily in struggles, and the next generation should not go through this. If we can help them avoid it, the better for us all. This has been Rooted and Robust Podcast. My name is Uzioma Anioji, and I will come your way again next week with another episode. Stay productive. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Inaendeshwa na AfriPods.